Thank you very much for joining us for our new episode of Woman Podcast. So today it's our pleasure to invite Hailan to join us to talk about a very interesting topic, dating.
Yay!
I think every girl is very interested in that topic. And I know Hailan from work before, and I listened to her some very interesting stories. So today we're going to talk about this topic, not only about her personal experience, and also Jingjing and my dating experience. And we also want to talk about behind the dating. What's the difference between our parents' generation and our generation? What's their marriage life impact our view about dating? As growing up, and we have very different views on dating and how it transfers during the time.
Exactly. Yeah. And also as a new generation, you know, in a more open China, that our generations, what we learn about like dating, about relationship, is so much different from our parents' generation. And then we also wanted to take this opportunity to look at the difference, and also to look at how we all gaining our dating or relationship experience from.
Yeah, how they still influence our dating decision, right?
Absolutely. You know. So welcome, Hailan, to
Thank
join us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here and talk about the topic, dating life.
Exactly. So maybe we start from the beginning. So when did you start to date?
If both sides acknowledge it's a date, that is quite late. I think it's in my year of 23.
Okay.
My parents set me up.
Oh.
Because they're...
Interesting.
I think they're really anxious of me not getting a boyfriend.
At age of 23.
At age of 23.
Right.
Why were they anxious?
They were really worried about that I'm not getting married for some reason. But I think it's also because of the information I sent to them that I'm quite cool of myself. I'm not living with them when I was 18. I studied abroad. Before 18, that you're not supposed to date. You're not supposed to have a boyfriend.
Why? Why not? I started dating when I was like...
14.
That's why you're a bad girl.
Don't tell my parents that.
No, I don't understand where Hailan's parents come from, because my parents had exactly same the requirement for me.
Yeah.
When you were in elementary school or middle school or high school, you are not supposed to date, because if you date, you are distracted from studying, right?
It's not only about the parents, it's from the school, from the environment, from where I came from. The school was really strict. It has this kind of military policy that you have to run in the morning. And our teacher would literally say that you have to befriend with the people who has the good grade. Young lovers that doesn't really care. And
were you one of them?
I know.
Not a good kid.
No, I'm not a good student. I'm just weak. I'm the weak one. I transfer a lot, so I don't get to know people well.
Oh, I see. I see. You don't have the environment to find a boyfriend at that time.
No. I transferred 3 times in my elementary school.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So I think it's the ability to build up a long-term relationship, because you get to know these people better, you get to know them longer. But in my case, I never stayed in a place more than 4 years.
I see.
What about you, Yajun? When was your first date?
If you call it a date, I guess it's in high school. There was a guy in the class, I think he likes me very much, so he followed me, pursued me for the entire high school. Even he came to Beijing, not in the same college, but in a college very close to my college.
Oh, so even after you went to university?
Yeah.
He's still pursuing you?
Yeah, my hometown is Tianjin, so I was decided to come to Beijing for college, and he followed me to Beijing. But at that time, I wasn't sure he was the one. He was just a very nice guy, but, you know.
Good looking?
No, not really.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's more complicated than that.
More than looks after.
But eventually we start to date, because when a guy is there 24/7, you know, just so nice and kind to you, and you are in a new environment in college, and you didn't know anybody, and when you feel so lost in a really big university with over 10,000 people, you feel like you are like a piece of rock mm-hmm. in a big ocean mm-hmm. and nobody listens to you, nobody cares about you. Mm-hmm. And there's a guy you know from high school sit next to you mm-hmm. and listen to you. You know, eventually we start a date.
He eventually won your heart with his persistency.
I guess.
So did he become your boyfriend?
Yeah, eventually. Oh, okay. Yeah, but we broke up in the second or third year in college. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just we're very different people.
I remember when I started date. Well, of course, like forbiddenly, nobody knows it on. So this is completely off the record.
Really?
We are on the record. We're so on the record.
Oh yes. Our audience love us, so they're not going to tell my parents.
Well, your husband.
Well, my husband know all about my dating experience. Oh. Yeah. So I think it was like from 14 or 15, and then dating at that time is really just, oh right, I like him, he yeah. likes me.
Cute puppy let's, love.
Let's do homework together. let's go to the library together. And that's considered as a date.
Yeah, exactly.
Before this record, I was telling Yajun that when I was 14, I had this huge crush on a guy.
Right.
And, but I'm too shy to even talk to him. So we take the same bus, and he lives one stop further than where I live. So mm-hmm. I would take another, like, extra stop to just to be with him for another few minutes.
But wow. So sweet.
But
yeah.
I don't know if that's a date, but for me, I'm so happy to just
to
look.
Be next to
yeah.
him.
And what do you... Next to him is so crowded. So.
Oh, to be on the same bus
and being able to look at him.
Oh, that's so sweet. And what you do afterwards? You get off and
I get off
walk.
The bus.
And then
and
you
go
walk
home
back.
Without talking to him.
Yeah, I walk back home.
Oh.
Eventually, did you tell him?
No.
Oh.
No.
Does he know now?
I don't think so. I don't know.
After the,
no,
the
never.
School.
So I haven't seen him for like more than 10 years now.
I wonder what he looks like right now.
Yeah. That would be horrible.
I'm the mean one.
You're the mean one. Maybe a big belly and starting to
lose
hair.
Oh, he's really tall though.
Wow.
Right. So that's how you managed to look at him from the crowded bus.
So
you can see him. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't yeah. take much effort to look at him.
Great.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about your first blind date.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. It's in Beijing, though.
Okay.
And I bought the ticket of the... It's a theater show. And then after the show, we went to eat this hot pot. Back then, I was watching TV series. I don't think hot pot is a good place for a date in my mind, but I accepted it. Which is true that I was like, seriously, I asked you to pick one place. You're taking me to a hot pot place.
Well, what's your ideal location for dating meal?
And what TV series are you watching?
Exactly. Which TV series did you watch?
Friends.
Oh.
I'm old fashioned. I watched Friends when I grew up.
Me too.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Friends is our generation's.
I just watch a little bit. I'm a Sex and City fan.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah, me yeah. too. Yeah.
Friends. Yeah, mostly that our generation is getting a huge influence from the Western culture.
Right.
Because,
yeah.
well, in Chinese TV series, there, well, it's the relationship sounds miserable. So it doesn't sound fun. It doesn't look fun.
Yeah. Okay. The hot pot was
yeah.
disappointing.
Well, it was nice. But
okay.
Today, I'm happy to have a date with a guy in a hot pot, but not for every meal.
Mm-mm.
But
right,
then it kind of broke my fantasy about the dating.
Right.
It was okay. Then I think the waitress was really nice. They have this dip, and they will draw the dip into a smiley face. So
aww.
I remember that.
Okay.
Yeah, we are really different people, and the date lasts for a month. And
still lasted for a month. That's pretty
still
good.
Lasted yeah. a month, and so far that's my longest dating time.
Oh.
My date never lasts over a month.
Okay.
So what was the story behind it?
Actually, when I was in college, they gave this guy's Chinese Facebook account to me. Since I was in the States, he's in China, so we never really.
So your parents plan ahead.
Yes.
Even before you come back to China, they have already planned up everything for you.
not everything, but they
set up this one.
I call that strategic vision.
Exactly.
And this very long-term strategic
vision.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So about this guy, what do you like about him? After all, you dated
That's
him.
That's the point. I don't like
him. Then why did you date him?
I didn't know, because now I know how falling in love feels like.
Mm-mm.
But I never really fell for him. I think he's a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a mediocre guy. I'm sorry.
It's okay. And then that leads to sort of our next question is, what is your ideal relationship? Because you kept saying that, oh, I have this idea, you know, about the first date, about what a boy should possess. And, you know, like, tell us what's your ideal relationship.
I just like to have a person that I can have fun with, talk to, and support each other emotionally, as long as he can support himself as well. Being loyal to each other and commitment to the relationship.
Mm.
That's what I call an ideal relationship. I wouldn't care about if he has a house or a car, as long as he's fun and cute.
Cute is very important.
Exactly.
We have a mutual friend that I know her criteria, one of her criteria, which is actually quite top on the list of a list of criteria, is that this guy should have six packs.
Oh, that's okay. A lot to ask.
I know.
To say.
I know. You don't come across
and especially
that kind of
first
very
date.
Often.
Okay, you guy, leave on your
shirt.
Exactly. Ask the same
How
question.
How could you tell?
But she was like, you can actually tell, you know,
from the outside.
From the
in
build.
Winter.
Under the clothes. Yeah, you have to have very
There's
sharp eyes.
There's something on Taobao. You can buy this
fake six pack
plastic.
Oh,
and
my God.
And butt.
Oh, my God.
And just put it on. Wear a shirt.
Tell the friend.
Yeah,
it doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't work anymore. You can have fake six packs. Yeah.
So what's the criteria back then?
So I want this warm guy. That part never changed. Is that a word? I'm pursuable. I like the guy.
Hard to get.
Oh. I like the guy. I used to like the guys who I can never get.
Oh.
Then you try everything? What you would do?
I just sucked.
You suck it up.
I think I enjoy the feeling of not getting it.
And then the harder it gets, the more attractive
you get. Yes. Mm-hmm. And ask them if they like to hang out. But so it's not about them. It's not about other people, isn't it? The feeling of you're getting something or getting the people who are hard to get or either they're not really interested in you. So
mm-hmm.
no matter what you do, he's not going to respond.
Mm-mm.
Or maybe you're in love with a colleague, which in my principle is not, I wouldn't agree to that.
Mm-mm.
Or someone has a girlfriend that is, I know it's impossible. So I kind of create my own scenario to be able to satisfy myself in the scene that the guy is so attractive, I can never get him.
So what's in it for you then? I'm trying to understand. Do you like the challenge, or
I try to create this separation scene that I lost my dearly loved grandfather 10 years ago, and he, I love him so much, but I grew up with him, but he wasn't in a good health since I was very little, so I know, I always knew that he's gonna die one day, but it's so difficult for me to accept that fact he's gonna die for one day, even though he was keep telling me that, oh, I had a really good life, I'm happy about what it is for me right now. Still, it's so difficult, so I would never accept that. When I think of it, I would just go to my own bedroom and cry about it, and I thought, oh, he would never die.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's this day he had this surgery, and I remember I was with my father. My mom was accompanied with him, and my uncles was with him in the hospital. I didn't know he had that surgery that day. And my mom called, and I picked up. it was like son crying. She said, please pass the phone to your father. I feel something is wrong. My dad is going to the hospital. I insist to bring me in. But he's already, we are losing him. So he's using this breathing machine to keep him alive, although he's already unconscious. So we waited. I waited for 4 hours or 6 hours. So that's the longest waiting I have ever did. Then I feel this pattern when I was in my dating with the guys. I always like to wait. I enjoy the waiting to get a response. That is the point I feel happy. Because back then in the hospital, I feel I will do anything. I would literally do anything if he can wake up again and just, you know, talk to me and say goodbye, but it never happened. But then I realized it's not working this way. I'm not gonna let this to affect my intimate relationship anymore. Although it's hard, I still have this pattern. I still fell for the guy who is, you know, rejecting, and but I know it's not for them. I'm not seeing them as the real who they are. I'm just trying to repeat.
Yeah, it's tough. Hard. Yeah, it's a hard experience.
But I think in real life, like how we behave in real lives and how we behave in relationships, in friendships, it's always connected to so many factors that had big impact on your life, whether it's your childhood experience, whether it's how your parents were behaving, and your family and your the education, what happened to your good friends. And I think we carry a lot of baggages with us when we're growing up.
Hala and I were discussing about this. Yeah, we found that both of us had this idea about ideal marriage back in the day, right?
What was it?
I always thought that a married couple, live together, it's not because they love each other. I never had this concept of love. I never understand what love is. I understand the love between parents and me, but not between my parents, not between my mom and my dad. Because since I grew up, I always feel like my parents, they live together because they are roommates. They have to. because they are family. Yeah. The foundation of the relationship is not love. It's the family and the social bonding. Mm-hmm. But I never thought that the reason they're together is because they have love. They never showed any physical affection or touch. They never expressed they love each other. My dad never called my mom's name. My mom called my dad Lao Zhang, the old Zhang, right? Yeah, it's like your colleague or your old friend would call you Lao Zhang as well.
Yeah.
Right? And
but what would your father call your mom?
Never. My dad never called my mom. He just basically started to talk and without, you know, calling a name or even not her name. So, and with me, my parents...
How would he introduce your mom, though?
He never introduced my mom. My mom introduced herself to everyone. Seriously. My dad literally never talks. Exactly. Violent. I think it's the same pattern with parents. You know, the mom is always the talkative one. The dad never talks in the family. At least my parents.
That's a pattern of many Chinese men that we have in our mind that's silent and reserved.
Yeah, very reserved. So that's why I feel like the parents, they just live together. Mm-hmm. So I had this idea, you know, when I grew up, when I married to a person, we should have at least a 3-bedroom in the apartment. So I stay in one bedroom, my husband stayed in the other bedroom.
Yeah.
And some time in the week if we want to have sex, we want to sleep together, you know, we can go to the third bedroom. That's our common space.
Okay.
Otherwise, we can enjoy our own life. You know,
yeah.
I go to work and stay, work really late because career is important. He can do whatever he wants to do. So back in the day, I thought that's the symbol of independence. As
yeah.
a strong woman, that's what you should do. You should not rely on another person to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I told that when I first met my husband,
mm-hmm.
Back in the day, he was a student in my college. I was his language partner. So I told him my idea of this marriage. He said something like, "Oh God, your mind is so fucked up."
Yeah.
I have no idea what he means. It's, you know, it's independence. You want to be independent, right? Yeah. Thinking back now, I think it's because my parents, the original family, had this big impact on me. Because they never showed me what love is, so I didn't understand what love is.
Well, they might have love. Reflecting my parents, their relationship is getting better now.
Mm.
I think they have love. They have deep emotions to each other. I'm not saying that I understand what is happening in your family, but just due to my experience,
right, yeah.
my parents has this really hard, tough years. They live separately, of course, with a decent excuses that my dad is so busy and my mom has to like sacrifice all her time to accompany me and just helping me with my study with the new school because I was always transferring. But I think they have this conflict that they cannot solve. They have this pressure with the work, with their parents and with their children and with their siblings. So they're facing this so much pressure with the family and with the social changes. So under that life, I think each individual is facing enormous pressure. So they can't cope with that. So they throw shits to each other, to their closest ones. That doesn't mean they don't love each other. I cannot understand what was going on. So I thought maybe that's how relationship is.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm, yeah. And I think I agree with Highland. Because I think my parents also share similar patterns to, like, I can see the similarities in all our parents' our relationships in a way. And I think the biggest problem is the communication style,
right,
how
yeah,
they communicate
yeah, exactly.
with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, like, our parents is like in their late 50s or 60s, they're not going to tell us like how crazily that they fall in love with each other now, but I'm sure that at one point that's probably what had happened, or, you know, they had feelings for each other,
yeah.
and that's why they get married. But then what after they get married and how you communicate with each other and how you deal with each other, like
yeah.
in day-to-day life,
yeah.
and how would you do if, you know, you have an argument. I think lots of couples, like, not only to are like our parents, but even still, like, for our friends, like, how they handle arguments, it's so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's not because that they wanted to handle badly, is just because that they don't know what's the right way to handle it.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Maybe another topic that we wanted to talk about here is how do we learn from the outside world what a good relationship should be like.
Mm-hmm.
Right, how you should behave in a relationship, what's your role and how you communicate with each other. Because I feel growing up, as we are in this sort of fast developing China, and which our parents were quite sort of the suppressed generation, and they sort of have very cold, converted, like introvert and reserved feelings, and then they're not encouraged to talk about how they feel about things.
Yeah,
and then it's difficult to learn from them as we were growing up.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then also, like, we can't really learn from our friends because everyone is going through the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we have very limited choice of actually learn from the outside world what we should do.
Mm-mm.
So we're pretty much on our own.
Yeah.
I read. I go to a therapist.
Actually, I have to say that, Helen, you are really brave. I think a lot of people will, you know, hide from their problems and not to face it and just repeat that pattern over and over again rather than really find out exactly what's happening. Well, very brave that you
to another extent. I'm confident that my parents, although they have all these shit and issues, they love each other, because I heard this, ask your parents like how they have been loved and how do they know each other, like, I really enjoy their love stories. They already get to know each other when they're in high school.
Oh.
And but they're not a couple.
Mm-hmm.
So after my dad graduated from college, they have the common friend. So he came over to my mom's, to my grandfather's house, and then he started writing to her.
Mm-hmm.
I think, how romantic is that? Do you like, no guy is writing to me at all?
Nobody's writing anymore
because they can text you.
Yeah, they can text you.
Well, they don't write along, like how they feel. I think it's. One important thing in a communication is that telling people how you feel and not giving suggestions and advice, because we're so good at solving problems. We know what strategies we should play or what tricks we should do to get what you want. But emotion is the hard part, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's no matter what you behave, but deep in your mind you are who you are. If you're happy, you're happy. If you're angry, there's a reason. And
mm-hmm.
we all have to accept that. So what I learned from the past 3 years is just telling people honestly what I feel and how I feel, why I'm feeling that way, instead of blaming.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's kind of a mixture. I think I'm a horrible person back in my first date.
Oh, me too. I feel that.
Me too.
Yeah, in my first date, like I told you guys, it's this guy who is so sweet, you know, following me from high school to college.
Mm.
He's so patient and very nice, very kind. But back in the day, I was this really demanding, bitchy girl. I just take everything for granted. I feel like you're nice to me. That's what you should do. Because you pursue me.
Mm.
I'm the one who should control this relationship.
Yeah.
So everything you do for me is the right thing to do. I didn't appreciate anything he did.
Mm.
But later in the day, I don't know how, suddenly I had an epiphany. Mm. I just feel like actually what I did was really shitty. Nobody owe anybody anything.
But why do you think he's keeping doing that?
I don't know. I think he really likes me.
He must have enjoyed doing this thing for you.
Yeah, I think he really liked me.
Mm.
That's why he's willing to do everything, you know, come to my university basically every single day, even though it takes at least 30 minutes by bike.
Mm-hmm.
So come to my college.
Yeah,
you know, spend a lot of time in my college. And
maybe you don't have to feel sorry. Maybe this guy likes to feel frustrated. Like what I did.
Maybe.
But I think eventually my conscience followed me. I just feel like it's not right that you know, you ask people to just sacrifice their time and energy on you and you take everything for granted. I think I met my husband at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have already learned a lot from the first relationship,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of grew up already and also watched Sex and City. and feel like, you know, everybody, well, even if it's your husband or boyfriend, he does anything for you, you should appreciate it.
Yeah.
Because nobody owe you anything. You know, anybody who does things for you
mm-hmm.
is a nice gesture.
Yeah.
Mm. I really appreciate my husband.
Mm.
Because I think he's the guy who really showed me what love is.
Mm.
I mean, even with the first boyfriend, I never, that's not love. That's, you know, just relationship.
Mm.
But I think he showed me that two people together, live together, can be so much fun. So much more fun than living by yourself.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I totally dropped that three-bedroom idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very interesting because I'm also thinking about my previous relationships and dating experiences. And similar to Yanjun, that I used to have like two scenarios for relationship. One is the Cinderella relationship, which you don't have to do anything, that you just like do whatever you do,
being pretty,
and then someone's gonna come and then fall in love with you, and then you're gonna live happily ever after.
You found your princess and that's prince.
Yeah, exactly. Like you find your prince. No, your prince finds you.
Exactly. Right. You don't need to do anything.
Yeah. So that's one scenario. The other scenario is that hard to get relationship where this person likes you, continue to pursue you, and then like willing to sacrifice his life for you, but you're like, oh, I'm okay with it, and then yeah, he wants to do it because he likes me, and then that's my prerogative, that's what I can do to him. So that's two type of relationships like in my mind that should be like when I was young, like really, really young.
How young is that?
Like when I was a teenager.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe through like the first half of my adulthood. Maybe.
Yeah.
And then so like I had a similar relationship as Yadrin, which is like this guy was like really pursuing me and he really doing a lot for me. But then I feel like, well, I mean, you know, he should do it. And then there's like a very lack of understanding of what it means to be in a relationship, and which I later found out through all my failed past relationships is how important it is to have a equal relationship and to have equal love with each other. Because in the past relationship I felt like your goals are supposed to be chased, are supposed to be pursued, and guys are supposed to be good to you and make effort to make you happy, and then we don't need to do anything, we just sit there and enjoy it, and then that's so wrong.
Exactly.
then that's like you're not equal in a relationship, because a healthy and good relationship should be both of them are investing into a relationship. Both of them making effort into this relationship and care for each other is reciprocal. It's very caring, but one way it doesn't work. When you were talking about, I was thinking about why I was convincing this was the style or this was the right way to do. I blamed some of the Chinese like TV series.
What is the most?
I blame Cinderella.
Cinderella.
Snow White.
Snow White, yeah.
So you mentioned that one of your relationships is less than a month. So at what point you felt like you can sleep with them? Well, have you ever slept with a date?
This is embarrassing, but I'm going to be honest here that all my relationship, I only sleep with them once.
Okay.
Then it's over.
Oh, okay.
So like all my relationship, so-called relationship is one night stand. So I feel like I have this in mind that if my future relationship lasts longer than a month, I'll celebrate that in the KTV singing.
Oh, I thought you're gonna celebrate it by having sex with
them. Okay, that too. Have sex in the KTV room. Do you have any rules? I mean, maybe I watch too much Sex and City. Yeah, the girls always discuss, you know, when is the best time to have sex with the guy. Do you have to see them for 3 days or 5 days before, if you sleep with them on the first day, you know, that's not right?
That depends.
Do you have a rule?
If it's a serious, if I want to commit to him I want to see this guy more often, or in a serious relationship, I might want to just want to see him more and wait for a while until I get to know him.
But how can you be serious with him before you have tried him in bed?
What are you trying to say? You have to test the product before moving on.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, you have to. That's very important.
Serious. Well, I see him as a potential boyfriend.
Right.
Then I'm gonna wait. So if that's for for potential boyfriend case, but for casual dating, I don't really care.
What's your rule?
Only look cares. Yeah. Oh. In a casual relationship, only Luke cares.
Yeah.
Well, and also funny.
Well, I think I'm very similar to you. Maybe I'm just under too much influence by all sorts of TV series. It's that you sort of have this rule, you make this rules for yourself that first time, you know, you sound it, you're too easy. It's too easy for him. Second day is, you know, you wanted to play a bit hard to get. And third time is probably the same way. So third time maybe is the right way to go. But I think later on I thought, you know, if you find someone that you really like, it doesn't really matter. But, you know, I don't want it to make rules just because, you know, for the sake of making rules.
Yes.
So but when I realized that, it was already, you know,
too late.
So I can't really apply for it in the future.
But does that apply to your current relationship?
Yeah, my current relationship is like, oh, when you feel like you find the right person, like everything doesn't really matter.
Yes.
It doesn't really matter. You don't have to play games because slightly coming back to like moving from having sex to maybe text messages, like, you know, we have different rules of, right, if this boy texts you, how long that you should wait to respond to him, right? You can't respond immediately because that would make him feel like, first of all, you probably don't have much to do. Second of all, that you're too keen.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have, but you don't want it to leave for too long.
Right.
Because if you're interested in him, you don't want it to give him the wrong message of you're not interested in him. So you want it to wait exactly the right amount of time to respond to him. So, you know, that type of thing is what I used to think about. But then,
okay.
No. You go back to your questions, like, you know, when you find the right person,
it doesn't really matter.
Right, all the rules, all the games that you play in relationships, you know, is out of the window.
Yeah,
you
I
just
agree.
Be with this person. And I remember, like, thinking exactly the same as, you know, when I started dating my now husband, then boyfriend at the time is, oh my God, it's so good, it's so liberated that we don't need to play games. We can just be ourselves and feel 100% comfortable with each other.
Yeah.
I think that's the advantage if your relationship comes from a friendship.
Yeah,
I feel the same way with my husband as well, because we are really good friends for about a year. You know, we know each other really well and talk about everything. And then we feel like we have very strong friendship at that moment. And someday, I don't know when, but it turned to a relationship.
Yeah.
But at that time, you know each other already so well. You don't need to guess.
Yeah.
And you don't need to calculate. You don't need to play power game in the relationship anymore.
Yeah,
just, you know, we know each other. You are my best friend. Right now, you are my boyfriend. We just be real to each other.
That's the most important, being real to each other.
Yeah.
I should be friends with guys first.
Well,
I think the unsuccessful part is that when in a relationship, when I think the most important thing is that you guys have things in common.
Mm-hmm.
And being friends to each other means that you build a lot of common things together.
Right.
First, so you have a foundation.
Right.
So it's difficult that in nowadays, that if, especially when you start working and you start to building your careers, you don't have that much time and energy to really, you know, contribute to each other. If to a stranger, you just know.
Another question.
Yeah.
Do you think you are a leftover girl or 剩女?
No.
Okay. What do you think your parents or the people around you think
grew,
that way?
They grew now. They were afraid that I'm becoming one.
But
back when I was 23, 24, and they have this famous quote, I think most Chinese would understand it, that you have to, like, pick guys like picking a cabbage or something, that you have to pick the good ones until, like, everyone else have the good ones. But you can't put an evaluation to a price to a human, right?
What's their ideal? Well, their criteria for a good one?
Like people coming from the similar background, the education background or family background, they're like tall and good looking, so they want everything. I think my parents want like more perfect guy than I do. Oh, especially if they are from the doctor families. See, my parents, when they cope with their close one who is passing away, they want me to find a doctor as a boyfriend, or they want the boys' family who are doctors.
Yeah, but doctors are never home, like, especially surgeons.
Yeah, so I never took their words seriously on my dating strategies. And but no, I think they grew. So my mom really is not bugging me with my dating life. She's like, oh, you're mature now. You can make your own decision. We believe that we're believing in you. Even if you're not in a marriage, if you do not ever get married, if you're happy, then I'm okay with that. I think her friends is more anxious than they do. So they are.
Why is that? Why is everyone's worrying about somebody else's business?
Yeah,
exactly. That's China.
My mom's friends used to text me that I knew this really good guy, so I want to set you up. I was like, oh, thank you. I don't want to be rude, you know, rejecting their kindness. But they keep like stuffing these guys to me. It was so awkward that I don't know what to talk to them because I don't know them. I never met them, and they're not in Beijing. So they gave their like WeChat. So they're just sitting there on my contact list. I think to a point that my mom's friend, they are not trying with me, but they still say, oh, when do your daughter get married?
Good.
She's like, my mom is getting so
get a life.
Yeah.
Exactly. Focus on your
and
own thing.
Their children got married. I'm not sure like why they should feel so upright. Please, I'm so happy to give them the privilege to look down on me that I have this miserable loser life. If they think so, I don't care.
I mean, I understand the mindset from parents' perspective because they want their children to settle down, to have a family, whether or not that they're using the right way to help their children to do that is another question, but at least that they're coming from a good cause. But from other people, like your life has nothing to do with them or will never have anything to do with them. Like, why would they worry about you? It's very kind of them.
So, Junjun, you got married late, relatively.
Yeah.
At least for the parents' standard. Back in the time, were you under any pressure from your family, parents, relatively weird uncle, aunties of your parents' friends?
Don't get me started on the weird uncle. I think my parents were really, really supportive.
Mm.
They know me so well.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that I am a very independent person. And I'm very clear on what I want in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So that they respect that.
Mm-hmm.
However, like, my mom always do something really cute. As, you know, when we're having dinner and then she would just, like, out of nowhere saying that, oh, when you have a boyfriend or like that. Oh, but a little bit background is like, so I ended a long-term relationship when I was like 28. So that was already quite late for a Chinese woman's standard. And then I was like single for a year before I met my current husband. And then during that year, like, my mom would probe me from here and there. But then I had a very honest and calm conversation with my mom. I look her in the eye and I said, Mom, do you want me to be happy and find someone I really, really love and then be happy for the rest of my life? Or do you want me just to find a boyfriend and find a husband just for the sake of it, doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And then I paused and I stopped. And she was like, and she said in Chinese, she's like, oh, mama, 再也不管你了. She's like, oh, mommy's not going to, you know, mind your business. You mind your own business.
Mingle your life.
Yeah. And then ever since that, she still introduced, like, boys to me and asked me to get on a blind date or whatever. But she never pressures me.
Yeah.
But however, on my extended family side, that my, like, weird uncles and aunties would always prop me, get their nose on me and saying that, oh, when are you gonna have boyfriend?
Yeah, it's not what, not when. Please get a boyfriend fast. Bring him back this year.
Yeah.
Why aren't you worried?
Exactly. I think they're just in a very, very different mindset.
Yeah.
Very different world than us.
Yeah, for me, because I found my husband really, really young. We know each other in the third year of my college. We kind of secretly lived together in my first year of college. and my parents still don't know until now. Finding a boyfriend for me is not a problem, but the problem for me is that my husband is a foreigner. So I think my parents just ignored the whole situation for a long time. So I went to France to study for 2 years. They never asked me about my dating situation. They just ignore it and pretend that didn't happen. However, when I come back and I officially told them that I'm going to marry this guy, my parents were pissed off.
They freak out.
Totally freak out. And they start to worry, like, oh, what if you marry to an American and you will leave us, you will move to the US, we'll never see you again.
Yeah.
And my dad, if you marry to this guy, we're going to terminate this father-daughter relationship.
What?
Very, very dramatic.
So it feels like, God. Oh, if you're married to this guy, I will divorce you.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I will divorce you as a daughter and father.
Yeah. It was, yeah, we had a huge fight. But the funny thing is, 10 years after our marriage, and my mom, especially my mom, always came to me and saying that, oh, I'm so envious of you because I can see that you guys have a very close relationship. You smile at each other, you know, you touch each other, you
so
hug
loving.
Each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's something that my parents' generation did never have.
Mm.
That's the relationship that my mom really wants for her whole life.
Mm.
But she knows that she can never get it. That's why.
Why do you think that? Why couldn't you get it?
Because my dad is not that kind of person.
Right.
But my mom wants somebody, you know, very expressive, somebody who is very loving, have a physical contact, say, I care about you, I love you, like every single girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
But my dad, well, my dad's generation is just not like that.
Yeah.
So I think it's quite a tragedy for my parents' generation, but good thing for us. For so many times, I just feel like I'm so lucky coming from that kind of family background with that kind of concept of relationship and turn out to have a relatively normal, happy relationship.
Mm. You know, I learn a lot from my parents' relationship, mainly on the things that, you know, you shouldn't do in a relationship. I just basically take it as a lesson and then... And then, like, things you shouldn't do in a relationship, you know, learn from my parents. In that way, I'm grateful. One last thing I wanted to say is that I think we are very much disagree with the idea of calling single women a shenyu or a leftover women, because I think that's a horrible, horrible concept in China, and probably only China has it. Or maybe some other countries has this as well. But I think everyone should feel comfortable of pursuing love and relationship the way that they want it,
whenever they want it
and however they want it. Thank you for listening to Woman. If you have any feedback, write to us at womenpodcast, womenpodcast@outlook.com. We'll be right back.